Good morning. Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. My name is Gus, and I am your board rep this morning. I'm glad to see so many happy faces here today. We have a variety of announcements about church life and activities, and so I'd ask you to please read them in those announcements listed in the order of service. And for that reason, you can also take your order of service home. In fact, we encourage you to do so, so you've got the announcements at home as well. And now we have a few other announcements, an ad hoc announcement from our own Eric Larson.
The children's choir started out last week. It was really great. Testimonial.
And there's puppies.
Can we put something on?
So there's cookies, and it's really fun. So you get two cookies at the end of every practice. And, yeah. Well, yeah.
So after church, about 11:15, we will meet over here in the pews after your RE classes, children. It really is good. We could use more singers, though, so I'm hoping you'll join us. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. And we have another ad hoc announcement from our very own Al Haskell.
Yesterday we had a very engaging first orientation class of this year, so I just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you to Chris and everybody that pulled that together. We're encouraged by the larger numbers of people interested in becoming a part of us. So that said and done, the next one will be scheduled in December. I believe that I know where Eric hides his cookies.
Thank you, Al. And one more spontaneous announcement from Kaz. Kaz, where are you? There you are.
Hi. Not this next Sunday, but the Sunday after, we are having our annual Thanksgiving potluck lunch right after the service. We need volunteers for setup the night before, so that will be Saturday around 4 o'clock. And sign up for meals, turkey, and clean up. Okay, so they will be signed up at the service, social hall after this service. So please sign up. We feed about 100 to 150 people. So we need some help.
Sign up for food too.
Excuse me?
Sign up if you're willing to bring some food. I'll have sheets in the hall after service.
Okay, that's for the Thanksgiving dinner, correct? Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Socrates Cafe. Socrates Cafe will be meeting this Friday, November 11th, at the Milwaukee Street Traders again. So they're back over there in Delafield, which is downtown Delafield, and at 7 to 9 p.m. Phil Smith will be the facilitator for Socrates Cafe Friday, 7 o'clock at Milwaukee Street Traders in Delafield. Today is the monthly designated collection sponsored by the Social Action Committee, which will be taken along with the regular weekly collection. This month's collection will go to the Food Pantry of Waukesha County. I invite you to greet those around you. Thank you. If you are visiting with us today, we particularly welcome you. We want you to sign the guest ledger, if you would, on the visitor's table out in the foyer in the front hall of the church. There is a variety of information available on that table regarding our Unitarian Universalism faith, and we ask that you help yourself to anything there that interests you. I will be in the social hall after the service if you have any questions about our church, or if you have been visiting for a while and you would like information about becoming a member. I'd be happy to talk with you about that as well. If you are visiting here today with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they go to their religious education classes. Your child is welcome to join them or remain in the service. If you would like to go along to observe your child's class, please do so. The nursery is just out the doors here to my right and across the entry hall, the front hall of the church, and it's clearly marked if there is a need for child care during the service. Classes will end at 11:15 a.m., at which time you can pick up your children from their classes. We always appreciate getting to know our guests, so if anyone today here, a member or a visitor, has brought a friend and a visitor, or if a visitor has brought themselves and cares to introduce them now, I would ask you to state your name, and please stand also when you introduce yourself. Any visitors today? Yes? Welcome.
I'm Chris White, and I brought my daughter Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie. This is my son Henry. We're visiting from Pittsburgh, and we're members of the First Unitarian Church in Pittsburgh.
Welcome.
Hi, my name is Dave Reisler, and I brought my son.
Welcome, Dave. Thank you. Welcome. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. The conversation corner is a good place to gather for further discussions of the service. We would now ask you to put your cell phones and other electronic devices that make noises to turn them off or to put them on silence mode. I hope you find this morning's service stimulating. Today, I don't think our speaker needs any introduction, but I will introduce him anyway. He's our own very reverend minister. James A. Hobart. We know him as Big Jim. Take it away. Thank you.
Thank you. That was lovely. Oh, one more announcement. Kathy, where are we meeting for this chat for those who care to come and talk to the minister this morning at 11:45?
The high school room is open because they're out raking leaves today.
Okay, so if you don't know where that is, somebody can tell you. And everybody's welcome, but I hope everybody doesn't show up. We come into the presence of the Most High, that which is worthy of our best and truest effort. We come, too, into the presence of these companions who join us in this place and time, set aside, dedicated to seeking and serving the ways which will promote peace and prosperity for all people. Let us covenant with one another and with the power that gives us life and sets the terms of life to serve loving ways in all the places that we live and move and find our being. May this be our common high resolve. Our opening hymn is in the teal-covered book, Singing the Journey. It's number 1018, Come and Go With Me. Would you please rise?
Before the wonder of life,
the wonder of this moment,
The wonder of being together, so close yet so apart.
Each hidden in our own secret chamber.
Each listening, each trying to speak.
And none fully understanding, none fully understood.
We gather in reverence before all intangible things that eyes see not, nor ears can detect.
That hands can never touch, that space cannot hold, and time cannot measure.
It says it's on the screen. There, it's on. So, would anybody like to come up here and join me in the front? You're invited. You could come sit up here on the steps with me. Oh, sure. Children of all ages. Just come up here and sit on the stairs, or you can sit down in front and look at me. Okay, Henry has come up here at the front. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Some of you may know, but some of you may not know that I'm Jim Hobart. And does anybody know what I do here? Well, yes.
You read stories to the kids and you grind coffee beans for after service.
Awesome.
Okay. Very good. Well, to make it just a short phrase, you could say I'm the minister of this church. And my name is Jim Hobart. So, what's your name?
Miles.
Yeah. I tell you what, everybody, all you folks out there, and you folks down in front, let's all say our name. Now, we got to do this just right. I'm going to say one, two, three, and then we'll all say our name, okay? Okay, you all very ready? Henry, you ready? Okay. One, two, three. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Now we all know each other's names. Well, this morning I want to tell you a once upon a time story. Once upon a time, that means... It means what? I didn't get what he said, Al.
He said it's make-believe.
It's make-believe.
Or a fairy tale.
A fairy tale, somebody said. Well, yes. A lot of once-upon-a-time stories are make-believe and are fairy tales, but then a lot of them are something that happened a long time ago. But they're not a fairy tale. Okay? So I want to tell you a story about something that happened about 30 years ago. So how many of you here are 30 years old? Some of you adults, I know some of you adults are Anybody out there ready to raise their hand and acknowledge they're 30 years old? Yeah, so there are a lot of us that are 30 years old. But then, how many of us are not 30 years old? See, one of the great things about this church is that we have people of all ages here. So, okay. Once upon a time, about 30 years ago, there was a congregation and a minister who were talking together about becoming partners in ministry at the Versa Ucilis Tarian Uni Church. Something like that. Well, the members of this church had heard some things about that minister. They had heard that he was a social activist. that he was devoted to working on civil rights and peace and equal rights and opportunities for women and for gay and lesbian folk. And he thought that everyone should have a decent living, enough money to live on, and that everyone should have a place to live, a good place to live, and that they should go to good schools where they were safe and would get a good education, and that everyone would have the opportunity to make their lives better. Now, some of the church members were sure that they wanted a minister like that, and some others were sure that a minister like that was too radical for them. And let me tell you that the minister had also heard some things about that church, too. And here are the kinds of things that he heard. That most Sundays, people didn't come to the worship service. And that almost none of the children came to the church school. And just a very few people were involved in the church. And he heard, too, that there was not enough money to keep that church going. So guess what? Most of the people of the church were discouraged and disappointed. And some people believe that it was no question that the church would have to close its doors forever in a few years. Well, that's one of the things the minister heard, but he also heard that this church could change during the next few years. So, there's the once upon a time story. What do you suppose happened? Which story do you think came true? That's a good question, isn't it? Which one of these stories came true? Well, is it the story about the church closing? Or was it the story about the church becoming stronger? Yeah. That, you think that's the one that came true? Which one would you want to come true? You'd want the church to become stronger. Yeah, yeah. Well, let me tell you, that once upon a time story is a true story. And I was that minister. And the church was in Denver, Colorado. And this church that was just about ready to close its doors became a very strong and vital church. And its numbers of people increased. And everything became stronger in that church. And today, it is a very vital congregation in Denver, Colorado. So that's that story. But that raises another question for me. What do you think the story of the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church is? And where do you think this congregation will be in 30 years? And that's a question not only for you, but it's a question especially for those people sitting out there. So that's the story this morning. Now, the next thing that's going to happen is that somebody is going to come forward up here. Who's that? Okay. And your name is Reagan. And put your fingers, let me put it down. And you grab it by this so it doesn't get too hot for you. Now, Reagan is going to lead you, because I'm staying here. Reagan is going to lead you out to go to your RE classes. So, Reagan, would you turn around and be ready to go? Okay, and as they go out with Reagan leading them, we'll all sing, "Go Now in Peace." See you later. Thank you.
time in our service where we share our joys and concerns. This is a time when we invite everybody to share their joys or sorrows with the congregation. If you choose to share, please raise your hand and an usher will bring you a microphone. Introduce yourself very briefly and tell us your joy or concern. And I will light a candle to represent that. In the sharing, may our joys, may our sorrows be lightened and our joys multiplied. First, I will light the memorial candle to acknowledge the many conflicts in our world. May a peaceful resolution be found. Now I invite you to share.
My name is Kathy. My joy is that I was able to participate yesterday evening in a very meaningful event around the labyrinth and memorial to people in our lives who have passed. And I really appreciate Janice Tyler and Kristen Sandin and Jim Tyler and other folks having worked so hard to make the event such a wonderful one. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Robert. And if you'd like a candle of gratitude, although I've been laid off since January, I'm really grateful for the opportunity I've had to think about what's important in my life and the experiences that I've been able to have this year.
I'm Joanne, and a candle of concern for our good friend, Jim Frizicki, who had a massive heart attack this week and is still in critical condition.
I'm Sue Camille, I have a candle of joy for my friend Rebecca and her new baby, Tobias.
I'm Mary, a candle of concern for my dad. He was here a couple weeks ago and got to see Gus's wonderful service, but he continues to have some bronchial chest problems, and so I'm a little worried about him.
Hi, I'm Mark, and some of you may have known my son got married at the end of August, and right after the honeymoon, my new daughter-in-law lost her job, so she's out there looking for work, so appreciate the thoughts.
Hi, I'm Chris. Oh, gosh, I sound terrible. A candle of joy, as I pointed out earlier, my daughter and grandson are here, and she just had a birthday, and my son and daughter-in-law are having birthdays, and we're going to be all together today, so it's a family birthday celebration today.
And I will light one candle for my daughter's birthday. She's 18 today. And a final candle for all the joys and concerns we hold in our hearts. Oh, we have one more. You knew her when she was 3. She's 19 tomorrow, so add it to your candle. And one final candle.
Let us join in together in a period of meditation and reflection and prayer. Great mystery, forever beyond all our concepts and words and thoughts, and yet we dare address our sense of holy presence in our midst. Let us turn now toward the events large and small which define the meaning of our days. Give us to know that we must each and all care for ourselves, both in body and in spirit, for our being and our essence is manifest in body and spirit. Our well-being and the well-being of all whose lives touch and intersect with our own are affected both in body and spirit. May we take up our daily tasks, the manifold duties of family and friends, the duties of citizenship, the responsibilities of our work, all this and more may we undertake with a sense of our vocation. This is our good work. The ordinary, everyday events of the world and life in the world, which can move the human community toward life more abundant. Let us place ourselves in communion with all who seek a better world, all those striving toward a world marked by dignity and peace, by justice and love for all Earth's people, and for the Earth itself. May we find courage and determination to face the world's reeling woe, seeking to comfort all those who suffer and sorrow in body or in spirit. Let us accept that we cannot do everything that needs to be done, that there is much to do, and we are finite in our capacities. But let us take up what lies within our power with a humble spirit, offering and receiving back the many gifts of life that are ours to bestow. Let us seek joy and inspiration in the commonplace events of life, asking neither for too much nor too little. It is in comradeship and solidarity that we discover the way that we are called to serve. Let us offer gratitude for our opportunities and our challenges alike. And may our gratitude be expressed in a spirit of thankful generosity with all our resources of time and talent. These are the earnest meditations of our hearts and our minds this day. Let them serve to help us be seekers, stewards of our high resolve. And now in silence, let us continue in this spirit of prayer and meditation and reflection. Let us rise in body or in spirit as we are able and join together in singing hymn number 348, Guide My Feet.
Establishes that the ring is his territory, not theirs, a notion that he reinforces by shouting, by stomping about, by snapping his whip. The lions are impressed. Their disadvantage weighs heavily upon them. Notice how they come in, mighty predators that they are, kings of the beasts. They crawl in with their tails low, and they keep to the edges of the ring, which is always round, so that they have nowhere to hide. They are in the presence of a strongly dominant male, a super alpha male, and they must submit to his dominance rituals. So they open their jaws wide. They sit up. They jump through paper-covered hoops. They crawl through tubes. They walk backwards. They roll over. It's a question of brain over brawn. The nature of the circus trainer's ascendancy is psychological. Foreign surroundings, the trainer's erect posture, calm demeanor, steady gaze, fearless step forward, strange roar, for example, the snapping of a whip or the blowing of a whistle. These are so many factors that will fill the animal's mind with doubt and fear and make clear where it stands, the very thing it wants to know.
Thank you.
once upon a time, stories of our lives as persons and our lives as people are made up of stories. Stories about a religious tradition, Jewish or Christian, Hindu or Muslim, Unitarian Universalist, Christian Unitarian Universalist, Humanist Unitarian Universalist, Theist Unitarian Universalist, Pagan Unitarian Universalists, to name only a few of our orientations. Or stories about a culture. It could be English or Chinese or Russian or French or Japanese or Irish or African or a thousand others. For example, in my case, these include English Hobarts and Scott McLeans and Irish Collies and Finneys and all of the many relatives of these people. It could be stories about a nation, in our case, the United States of America, or about a region, the Midwest of the United States, or perhaps a state, Wisconsin, or maybe a town, Heartland, or a congregation, the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. Stories, interpretations, versions of stories, multiple stories, make up who we are as individuals and who we are as a community. Jan Martel's novel, Life of Pi, tells an intriguing story about a young man, an Indian Hindu, who claims as well to be a Christian and a Muslim. His name is Pai, or Paisen Patel, and he was the lone survivor of a shipwreck. Pai spent 227 days on a 26-foot lifeboat in the Pacific Ocean, and that in itself is remarkable. However, Pai also had an animal companion, a full-grown Bengal tiger named Richard Parker. And the life of Pi is the story of their survival and the relationship that was necessary for their survival on their 26-foot lifeboat for 227 days. When this ordeal ended, Pi related his story to a Japanese panel investigating the shipwreck. And the panel experts expressed considerable disbelief in this story. So, Pi then told them another story. It was a completely different story of survival, which did not include the tiger, but does include three other human survivors. One was his mother, another was the ship's cook, and a crew member. And none of these three lived to complete the 227 days from shipwreck to rescue. Now, having related two entirely different stories about the same event, the sinking of his ship and the 227 days in a lifeboat, Pai Patel says to the investigating panel, "I'd like to ask you something." And they say, "Yes." He says, "The Tsu Tsum sank on July the 2nd, 1977. "Yes." "And I arrived on the coast of Mexico, the sole human survivor of the Tsu Tsum, on February the 14th, 1978. "Yes, that's right. I told you two stories that account for the 227 days in between." "Yes, you did. And neither one explains the sinking of the Tsu Tsum." "Yes, that's right." And neither one makes a factual difference to you. That's true. You can't prove which story is true and which is not. You must take my word for it. Well, I guess so. And in both stories, the ship sinks, my entire family dies, and I suffer. Yes, that's true. So tell me, since it makes no factual difference to you, and you can't prove the question either way, which story do you prefer? Which is the better story? The story with animals or the story without animals? Well, Pi, that's an interesting question. Well, I guess the story with animals is the better story. And Pi responds, thank you. And so it goes with God. Well, which story do you prefer? If this seems an unusual way to decide the truth in life of Pi, remember that this way is often the way of stories and sagas and legends and myths and fairy tales and the accounts of family and clan and tribe and nation and religious narrative. Remember, for example, that the primary literary classic of the Western world, the primary religious literary classic, the Bible, opens its narrative with these words, in the beginning, and then it proceeds to offer two different accounts of creation. The first relates 7 days of creation. Humankind, male and female, are created on the sixth day. God rests on the seventh day, establishing the Sabbath. And in the second account, the Creator's name is the Lord God, and the male, the man, is created from the dust of the ground, and then the Lord God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then the man, Adam, is placed in a garden in the east in Eden. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of knowledge and the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the Lord God created all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air, and Adam gave them names. And then the Lord God took a rib from Adam's side and created for him a suitable helper, a female that Adam named first woman and then later Eve. And then we know that next comes the story of temptation and the eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then Adam and Eve's eyes were opened, and they were banished by the Lord God from the garden. Well, here are two stories. Actually, two very good stories, very involved stories. Which do you prefer? Well, isn't it interesting that the people who put together the Bible weren't able to decide which one they preferred, and so they used both of them? Lest we think that these questions refer only to fiction and religious myth, let me relate a story about a relationship between a certain minister and a certain congregation. And unlike the story I shared with you and the children, this is not about me. To be specific, this story concerns a Unitarian Universalist minister and a Unitarian Universalist congregation, and it has to do with tigers. During his second year of ministry with this congregation, one of my colleagues stated to me and other of his colleagues, well, he says, it took a year, But I finally got the congregation of big cat tigers back into their cages. Well, so he thought at that time. However, by the end of his third year, these tigers had escaped their cages again, and they had metaphorically eaten him, and he resigned. Well, I have to acknowledge that there are times when all ministers fantasize that our relationship with congregations, the ones we serve in particular, is akin to that between a circus tiger tamer and the big cats that he trains. You get the picture. The minister in a top hat, red swallowtail coat, riding pants, boots, yes, carrying a whip. And the congregational lions and tigers slink around the congregational cage. And on command, they sit on stands and they jump through hoops and they growl and they hiss and they show their teeth, but they obey. Remember Jan Martel's description on Life of Pi that we heard a bit earlier. A circus trainer must always enter the lion cage first and in full sight of the lions. In so doing, he establishes that the ring is his territory, not theirs, a notion that he reinforces by shouting, by stamping about, and by snapping his whip. Well, as my colleague found out, this image may be a sometimes satisfying ministerial fantasy, but the minister who seeks to live it out most often ends up not a lion tamer, but a lion dinner. The minister as king of the jungle or of the circus ring may be an enticing image to us ministers. Gee, I can almost envision it now. The church arranged in a pecking order, and the minister, that would be me, holding forth at the top. However, when I stop to think about it seriously, I know this is altogether the wrong image for the minister-congregational relationship, especially in our Unitarian Universalist tradition of congregational governance and decision-making. We ministers stand not at the top of the heap. We and the lay members of the congregation live in a ministerial partnership. It's a covenant relationship one to another. We are, in fact, equals living among equals. Yes, the minister on the one hand and the congregation on the other hand each have their unique responsibilities as a minister or a layperson. But we make our promises and we live out our commitments and we are accountable to one another. Trust and respect are the key elements grounding our relational theology and our relational church order and governance. And this is not some mere theory. For indeed, the theory developed and grows and still does from the lived experience of the relationship itself. And it is validated by the quality of the relationships. So much for the general picture. Let's bring this account home. What are the stories about the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, and which stories do you prefer? I can imagine, indeed I have heard a number of versions of the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, both before I arrived here and during the 3 months that I've served as your interim minister. And I have developed my own story too, which is still in formation. And here is the first matter, the most important matter, that I want to address about the story of this congregation, and that is, we must all assume the integrity of each story and the storyteller, even if these stories diverge as much as the stories told by Pi. Otherwise, our stories become contradictions rather than complements to one another. Otherwise, we become competitors to one another, opponents of one another, intent upon getting our way. Otherwise, we become polarized and we become paralyzed as a religious community, stuck forever in whatever is the status quo, unable to choose our direction. And choice always means that we are choosing a new direction, for new occasions teach new duties. And this is the most important matter, a mutual shared assumption of the integrity of each person and of each person's story. So what's your story? For example, is this church the only viable center of dynamic religious liberalism in this area? Or is it a small liberal congregation stuck in the ways of small liberal congregations, unwilling to make the changes that are necessary for growth? Or is it both? Or is it something else altogether? There are many stories, my friends. So I ask, which do you advocate? And which story do you prefer? And what is your story about ministers? About this minister? About each of the ministers who have served this church? You have known one or more of them. And you have heard about others, although some may be unknown to you. So which story do you advocate, and which story do you prefer? And how do these various stories inform your vision of what you want and what you value in the life of this church, and what you're looking for in your next settled minister here? Well, now I'm getting a bit ahead of myself, because this is a story still to be told. But what story do you prefer? What story still to be told do you prefer? What is your story about church stewardship and generosity? What is your story about the Sunday morning worship service and your participation in it, and the style of worship, and the size of the space, and the involvement of newcomers here? What is your story about religious education for youth and for adults? What is your story about social justice and ethics, and about the pastoral ministry, and about church outreach and church growth? These are stories not just about numbers, but also about who you actively seek out and welcome here. Be these people young adults or singles or the elderly or families of all kinds or people with impairments or people of color or gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender folk. Those of great financial means and those of limited financial means, to name only a few of the many variables from which you choose who will be welcome here. Okay, so part of my story is that I'm convinced there is a rich opportunity for the growth and outreach of this liberal religious congregation, attracting people from this immediate neighborhood and the nearby communities west of Milwaukee. In fact, that's why I'm here. But I can be equally convinced that this rich opportunity will not be realized, and that the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church will continue, as it does now, to struggle with inadequate finances, with too few members doing too much, with too little commitment asked from too many others of the members. Yes, the church surviving and the church contributing to the lives of its people and to the community, but not really thriving. So what's your story? What is the story in which you will enthusiastically invest your time and your talents and your financial resources, moving a shared vision to an actuality, to a reality, to a fact? You each will help decide your common lived story of this congregation. And which story do you prefer to live out together? I think another conversation in the life of Pi is instructive about your task, our task. One of the investigators says to Pi, "For the purposes of our investigation, we would like to know what really happened." And he responds, "What really happened? Yes. So you want another story?" No. We would like to know what really happened. And Pi responds, "Doesn't the telling of something always become a story?" And the answer he receives is, perhaps in English, in Japanese, a story would have an element of invention in it, and we don't want an invention. We want the straight facts, as you say in English. And Pi responds, "Isn't telling about something using words, whether they be English or Japanese, already something of an invention? Isn't looking upon this world already something of an invention?" And the response he gets is a quizzical, And he says, "The world isn't just the way it is. It is how we understand it." No. "And in understanding something, we bring something to it." No. "Doesn't that make life a story?" I think it does. So, what's your church's life story? Maybe we could take a moment to ponder that question before we enter the polylogue.
Some time for a polylogue today, but not too much time to think about it. So the ushers have microphones, which they will bring along. If you'd like to share a comment, please remember the many perspectives we share. Introduce yourself and make a brief comment.
Hi, this is Mark, and I just appreciate the push that I felt of where we're going and where we're headed. About it, each of us. And we don't often get that. So I appreciate the take the care and the concern to push us maybe where we should be going.
My name is Robin, and this church has been the center of my life for quite a long time. But there are other things that are on the side that I feel are very important, and I want to keep up with them too. And that's the politics of what's going on in this country right now, and making the right decision about who to vote for and what it's the right thing. And then also I'm working for the Hope Center, which is taking care of people that cannot take care of themselves in this dreadful situation right now. And but I also feel that this church is really the center point for me right now.
This is Al. My reflection or story this morning is hope and change. And let's not let that resound politically. But hope and change from the perspective of the vitality, the uniqueness, the diversity of experience and thoughts and talent that the past couple of years' growth in membership has brought to all of us collectively. And I embrace that and continue to be excited about that.
Well, thank you, those of you who've shared. There's time after the service to discuss further. At this point, it's time for our offertory. Let there be an offering to sustain and strengthen this place, which is sacred to so many of us, a community of memory and of hope, for we are now the keepers of the dream and of the story. The offering will now be received. Please join in with me with the congregational affirmation, which is number 646 in the green hills. This is called the larger circle. we clasp the hands of those that go before us.
In the hands of those who come after us.
We enter the little circle of each other's arms.
And the larger circle of lovers whose hands are joined in the dance.
And the larger circle of all creatures.
As in our eye, we move also in the dance.
To a music so subtle and vast that no ear hears it. Please join in the singing of our closing hymn, number 209. Please rise as you are willing and able.
Seated for the benediction and for the postlude. We leave this time and place to return to the world of many ways. If you found compassion here, take it with you into the world that cries for compassion. If you found understanding here, take it with you into a world that begs for understanding. If you found acceptance here, take it into the world with you, a world that yearns for acceptance. If you found challenge here, take it with you into the world that asks for challenge. Whatever you found here that sustains the human spirit, take it with you into a world that is desperate for these nurturing gifts. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.